This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Welcome to the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. For Chris Kreidel, I'm Jim Gooders. Currently with light rain in Chicago, 46 degrees at O'Hare. AccuWeather says we're going to have a few more sprinkles off and on today. It's going to be windy this afternoon as we reach a high near 50. We'll have more on the weather coming up, but first let's see what's happening on the markets as we go live to Bloomberg and Elisa Peretti.
Well, Jim, we have gains today with the Dow up 141 points, and we are at 25,602. That's a gain of 0.5%. The NASDAQ composite up 0.2%, or 49 points. S&P advancing 14. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is also higher by about 0.5%. So these gains don't mean investors are jumping in with both feet. Trading volume is on the low side. They are, though, dipping their toes into tech stocks after the sell-off and companies that have issued earnings reports that are getting a stronger response. It's quitting time. The Labor Department looks at the job quitting rate each month to get a sense of worker confidence in the job market. And in September, the rate held at the highest level since 2001. During the same month, there was a decline in job openings, largely in professional and financial services and construction. But that was from a record in August. Back to you, Jim.
We have a busy WBBM Noon Business Hour as investors are looking at the midterms and what that's going to mean for the economy and for stocks and for many things. We'll talk about job openings and the economy with the midterms. We'll look at how individual investors might fare depending on how the midterms turn out. We'll look at Wall Street generally. We'll also, on Travel Tuesday, talk about what the midterms could mean for travel, such things as security and restrictions. And we'll get a look at oil and gasoline prices. That's all ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Americans are heading to the polls today with control of Congress among the things at stake. And let's discuss the potential fallout of the midterm election on the economy with Gus Fauché, who is the chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. So, Gus, depending on how things go, especially when it comes to the congressional elections, what can we look forward to in terms of the economy?
I think the fundamentals for the U.S. economy remain quite good. So we have strong job growth. We have accelerating wage growth. So workers are getting bigger paychecks and consumers will continue to spend. I don't expect to see much in the way of fiscal policy changes, whether Democrats or Republicans are in control of Congress. So I would expect the economy will continue to expand at least through the middle of 2019.
Do you think investors are kind of looking at it the same way? It's like you were not going to expect much in the way of change, regardless of, for instance, who gains control of the House.
I think if Republicans remain in control of both the House and the Senate, that there is the possibility that they could pass more pro-business legislation that will allow businesses to have slightly higher profits. So if Republicans end up retaining control of both the House and the Senate, I would expect at least in the near term to see gains in stock prices. That being said, I don't think over the longer run it really makes that much of a difference who's in control for overall economic growth. And so after a short-term boost, I think that markets will likely focus more on the economic fundamentals.
Now, normally in a midterm, when you're looking at Congress, you're looking at which party controls the House, which party controls the Senate. How much different, or is it different this time, that you now have a president where you also have to think about not only what Congress is going to do, depending on its makeup, but then how the president is going to respond and how he might change his policies, depending on what the makeup of Congress is?
I think that that's certainly that's a good question. I mean, for example, if Democrats take control of the House, are we likely to see an infrastructure bill that perhaps both House Democrats, Senate Republicans, and President Trump could support? That would be a positive for near-term growth if the government is spending more on infrastructure. So certainly I think there is the possibility of some pro-growth policies if the Democrats take control of the House. But with this president, he could decide to cooperate with Democrats, or he could decide to not cooperate. So it's very much an open question.
So again, Gus, circling back, you feel that the fundamentals, the basics of the economy are such right now that kind of regardless of which way things go when the votes are counted tonight, that things are fairly strong and perhaps the reaction to it might be not quite as severe or might not have as much impact as, say, maybe other years where the economy maybe isn't as strong.
That's right. I don't think we're at a turning point in the economy right now. You know, the current expansion has been going on for more than 9 years. I would expect that it will continue. Consumers are in good shape. Businesses are in good shape. I don't see anything on the horizon that would change that. So, you know, certainly I think that although politics may have an effect around the margin, I think that the outlook remains for solid economic growth and moderate gains in stock prices going forward.
What about trade? How things turn out in terms of the congressional elections? How could that affect trade policy, and how we deal with our trading partners?
You know, that's a very interesting question. If anything, congressional Republicans have been, opposed to trade restrictions, while Democrats have been generally more in favor of them. So there could be some room for President Trump to compromise with Democrats on that and implement some trade restrictions. That being said, I think what we've seen so far from the Trump administration is a lot of noise, but very little heat. I would expect that will continue, that, the president will continue to talk about trade, but really not do anything that represents a serious threat to either the U.S. or global economy. So, certainly he could change his mind on that, but I think right now the policies that we have seen, minor impact on economic growth, but nothing substantive, and I would expect that would remain the case in 2019.
Gus Fauché, the chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh, always great to get your perspective on the economy. Up next, how the outcome of the election could affect investors.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There's usually financial impact attached to major national elections, so let's talk about how investors should position themselves with Michael Palumbo, the manager of TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. So, Michael, looking at this election, questions about which party will control the House, what it means for Washington, what it might mean for things like taxes and trade. How do you advise people to persevere as we're moving forward and make a good calculated risk?
Well, good afternoon, Jim, and thanks for having me on. You know, the House, it looks like, I would say it's a 75% chance that it's going to flip to the Democrats. We've had gridlock in Washington most years, and the market has performed quite well. So I expect that most likely the House will go to the Democrats, the Senate will stay in Republican hands. We'll have a little bit of gridlock, and at least economically, that shouldn't affect things in any dramatic way. And I don't think you'll see the market, other than maybe a relief rally tomorrow, but I don't think you'll see the market really care that much. Because history, if you use history as a guide, stocks have actually had their best years in the year of the midterm elections. Believe it or not, stocks have gone up 18 out of 18 midterm election years since World War II, and the average gain has been 17%. Now, does that mean that that's going to happen again this year? It doesn't mean that, but that is an awfully impressive statistic. So, you know, people that are worried about whether the House goes one way or the other, if the Senate goes, you know, we're going to be fine. And what's going to be more important is what happens with trade tensions with China, what happens with our macroeconomic numbers, which have been very good. So those things, this election really is not going to affect a whole lot. And so, you know, it makes for great TV. It makes for great discussion. People are very emotional on both sides. But in the end, I think gridlock, if that's what does happen, it appears that's what's going to happen, at least economically, it should be fine.
Does gridlock actually help investors, number one, because you're less likely to see change? And, of course, change is something that often investors don't like. And number two, are they kind of happy with how things have gone? And so if there's gridlock, it's probably just going to stay status quo? Are they happy with that?
Right. I think whether you're Republican or a Democrat or neutral, I think you are quietly pretty happy the way things are going economically right now, whether you want to attribute that to a president or a Congress or really where it should be attributed to, which is to our entrepreneurs in this nation that drive the economy. Those are the people that really are making things good. So, yeah, I think that a gridlocked Congress actually ends up being good for the reason you did state, which is that a lot of times not that much change happens. And a lot of times governments make changes that and make moves that maybe aren't so good. And when you have a gridlock situation, you have both sides maybe have to work together a little more. And so the legislation that does come through is bipartisan, which generally is better. So I think that in general that gridlock is going to be good for the markets.
So what's your advice? Wait and see, move in some direction? What do you think
that
investors
should
do?
You know, I was just on with you guys a few business days ago, and I advocated buying some of these tech stocks that have sold off. And I also think the financials are a good area. So, you know, I think that most of these names are still 10 to 30% off their highs, and this is a good time to add to positions or to start initiate a position in a real good name that a good tech name. I advocate Nvidia, which is a name that I'm personally long. So in full disclosure, I think that's a great stock. But yeah, right now is a good time, I think, to reload a little bit of long positions because I do think that once this election is over, we are more likely to rally than to not. Just based on history and based on what I've seen in the recent past, it is a better bet to say we're going to rally after this. So my best guess is that being long after this election would be a positive.
That's Michael Palumbo, the manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Thanks, Michael. Still ahead on Travel Tuesday, how politics and regulation could affect the travel industry in the wake of the midterm vote. WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get a live look at the market, sponsored by Kaler Luggage at Bloomberg, Elisa Peretti.
Well, Jim, the Dow is higher by 131 points, or 0.5%. NASDAQ gaining 46, and the S&P up 13. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 0.5%. American farmers are the most optimistic they've been since before trade tensions with China escalated. Sentiment is rising ahead of midterm elections. That's according to a monthly report by Purdue University and CME Group. China, in July, of course, slapped tariffs on a host of U.S. farm goods, including soybeans. We've got crude oil futures down about 2% to $61.76 a barrel. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets are mixed as we move through the noon hour in choppy trade. The Midwest weather forecast has turned a little drier for the week, which favors harvest activity. The trade is awaiting Thursday's monthly supply-demand report, which is expected to show slightly smaller corn and soybean yields. Corn futures are unchanged, down 0.25 cents. Beans down 1 and 2 cents a bushel. And the wheat market's up 5 to 6 cents a bushel. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. The WBBM Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. For Chris Kreidel, I'm Jim Goodis, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Stocks higher today. We'll see what's moving the markets. On Travel Tuesday, how the results of today's election could impact various aspects of the travel industry. The trend of prices at the gas pump is making drivers happy. The balance of power in Congress on the line as Americans elect more than 400 members of the U.S. House. And the slugfest for governor tops the ballot in Illinois. On the WBBM Market Watch, the Dow is now ahead 115 points, the S&P 500 up 12, and the NASDAQ's ahead by 41 points. The WBBM AccuWeather forecast, we're going to have a rainy afternoon, and then we will have blustery and mostly cloudy conditions as we head up to a high near 50, then down to 33 tonight. WBBM News Time, 12:31. Markets gaining ground today, and we're joined by Chuck Carlson, the CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter out of Hammond. So, Chuck, first, let's just talk about the markets today and what's going on.
I think you've got investors kind of realizing that the uncertainty of the midterm elections is presumably going to become more certain here this evening, although who knows, maybe it's going to drag on for a few days till they get some final declarations on who wins in some of these close districts. But in any event, you know, investors have been kind of using the excuse about the midterm elections as a reason maybe not to be in the market. And I think you're starting to see some buying ahead of that in anticipation that people may come back into the market once some of that uncertainty is over.
How much of the underlying factors in the economy, the underpinning that makes people pretty happy so far with the way the economy has been developing, how much does that mitigate whatever happens in terms of the midterms in Washington?
Well, I think that's everything, quite honestly. I think it has been a huge mistake to run an investment program through the prism of politics, whether it's in the last 18 months or the last 80 years. And so I think investors that have been giving too much emphasis really in terms of what happens in these midterm elections. And either way, regardless of your political persuasion, at the end of the day, what sustains markets are really three things: are interest rates, corporate profits, and inflation. And so, you know, when you're trying to figure out what the market is going to do, I think that what happens in the midterm elections should be pretty close to the bottom, quite frankly, because this market is not going to sink or swim in a sustained way based on what happens today. You may get some volatility in the market that comes in tomorrow, maybe the day after that, and so forth. But at the end of the day, this market's really going to, whether it moves in a sustained direction one way or the other, is really going to depend again back on corporate profits, interest rates, and inflation. And it kind of getting to your point, you know, I think the economy is still in pretty good shape. I know some folks are concerned about possibly a recession next year. I don't see that. That doesn't mean stocks can't continue to be kind of volatile and you know, correct in here based on kind of earnings expectations. But I don't think you should be necessarily a buyer or a seller purely based on what's going to happen in the midterm elections.
Though you have mentioned the fact that a lot of times there are factors in the economy that outweigh what happens politically, depending on what happens, if, let's say, Republicans retain control of both houses of Congress and then move forward with the president, or you have a divided Congress with a Democratic House and a Republican Senate and the president, is there any of those scenarios that are better for investors than the other?
You know, at this point, I don't think so. I know that sounds a little odd, but again, better meaning is one going to give more juice in a sustained way to the market than the other? I'm not convinced there is a scenario that does that. Again, at the end of the day, what's going to push this market higher is going to be, you know, are corporate profits beating expectations? Are corporate profits in 2019 going to be able to get over the bar, a rather high bar, I might add, that's being set this year with the strong profits that we've seen this year? Are interest rates going to get the levels that they really start to provide competition for equities when people start pulling money out of equities? Again, you know, there may be, and whether, you know, the Democrats hold serve on Congress or we have a split Congress, Senate versus the House, I'm not sure that there's going to be a huge impact one way or the other on those elements. I think, again, those are the factors that are going to drive stocks, and I'm not necessarily seeing one scenario that's better than the other in that regard.
Chuck, we've looked at the federal election, and of course there are several gubernatorial races today. Every state legislature, I believe, pretty much is up for grabs today. How important are how the states go in terms of where their leanings are, who wins, who loses, in terms of, for instance, of course, any corporation that has to pay federal taxes has to pay state taxes, has to face state regulations. Is that as important, more important? How important is the turnout and the result in the state races?
Yeah, I think in some respects, in some markets, that quite frankly may even have more of an impact. You know, for example, in the municipal bond market, I think they watch pretty closely what happens in elections at the local and city and state levels, because I think that does influence how municipal bond buyers are viewing those particular markets, because those are localized markets. So anytime you're looking at kind of localized markets and their impact on the financial markets, you know, again, You know, the municipal bond market comes quickly to mind in terms of how, you know, states fare in terms of their elections. And you do bring up a point in terms of maybe where individual corporations are headquartered, although I think that's probably not as significant as the perception of how a company's state finances are shaping up and how that can impact the municipal bonds that those states or localities may attempt to float here after the elections.
Chuck Carlson, the CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter out of Hammond. Thanks, Chuck, as always, for your perspective. Ahead on Travel Tuesday, gauging potential changes to the travel industry, depending on the outcome of today's midterm.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. Control of Congress in the balance during today's midterm election. And that could lead to changes in policy and regulation of the travel industry. And joining us live to talk about that is Joe Sweeterman, the professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University here in Chicago. So, Joe, what could happen in terms of regulation and travel depending on what happens with the midterms?
Well, this is going to be interesting. A lot of things at play here, and they tend to be small things, but add up to a lot. I mean, the one of the big issues in play now is just TSA PreCheck. And, you know, there's a big push to expand that. And really two questions. Should we do away with the fingerprinting requirements and let people sign up on their laptops or through other means? And it looks like there's a push to do that in Washington. You know, but if the House or Senate changes, that's going to add a new wrinkle. We're going to be a little more slow down. Let's discuss this. The committees, of course, will change. And, you know, there's a general sense that biometrics are coming. That we're going to be allowing background checks or even screening through biometrics. And that's a big step. And the political, you know, committees are a little spooked by that.
So, Joe, is it just a fact that if you use TSA PreCheck, you love it, and a lot of people either don't realize how much more convenient it is to travel if you have it, and they think, well, I don't want to go through the fingerprinting and stuff. I mean, is that really why not as many people had signed up as the feds had hoped?
Well, really, yeah, going to the off-site centers to schedule a meeting and have your background checked and do the fingerprinting seems like a big deal to people, and in many ways it is. I mean, it takes a few hours, and that wipes out your savings from cutting in line if you don't travel a lot. And remember, just a year or two ago, we had too many people sign up at once. We had those terrible backups at Midway and O'Hare. People missed their flights. And so there's a general sense that this has got to be done right. But the Trump administration is pushing to, you know, to change the whole design of this. And, you know, one of the big senators who's been really a kind of a watchdog for consumers is Claire McCaskill. And she's a senator in Missouri, and she's Democrat. And right now, in a really tight race. So if she loses, you know, that may tilt the balance a little bit to a go-slow approach.
Now, if, let's say, as some have predicted, that we might see a Democratic-controlled House, a Republican-controlled Senate, and obviously the president, what is not likely to happen as opposed to if the Republicans retain control of both houses of Congress?
Well, the interesting thing is much of the action right now is in the Federal Aviation Administration, where they set all these rules. Like, they have the ability now to set rules on seats and if seat pitch and, you know, legroom can be reduced. And they're inclined not to take much action right now, I think, because just the general sense in the Republican Party is that, you know, this isn't a priority. But that rulemaking, you know, they feel pressure from the congressional delegations. And so if we do see the House or Senate tipped, there's going to be a lot of push to kind of rethink this, maybe go a little faster on regulating that. And the Washington is ready to roll out a whole bunch of new regulations on how airlines advertise their services. You know, they need to include all the surcharges and fees, and that's ready to go. But this election, again, could, you know, throw a cog in the, you know, clog up the process a bit.
Joe Sweeterman, who's the professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Always great to get your perspective on the travel industry. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, will a recent drop in gasoline prices continue?
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Oil takes another tumble right now at our last report. Oil is down 98 cents a barrel at $62.12. That's a drop of about a percentage and a half today. Joining us to talk more about energy prices and what's going on. Phil Flynn, the senior market analyst at Price Group and Fox Business News contributor here in Chicago. So, Phil, what's happening?
I'll tell you, oil in a bear market for the first time in a long time. And I don't think a lot of people have seen this coming because, you know, just a month ago, you know, oil prices were at $77 a barrel. We were worried there wasn't going to be enough oil in the world to make up for Iranian sanctions. But you got to give credit to President Trump. You know, he cajoled OPEC into raising production. He, you know, got U.S. energy producers to ramp up production. And at the last minute, he provided waivers to countries buying Iranian oil that was supposed to, you know, not happen. And all of a sudden, we went from having a very undersupplied market to an adequately supplied market, and the prices really have crashed.
So on the flip side, this is not a sign that demand is shrinking.
You know, some people are worried about that. They're saying, hey, this could be a sign that demand is slowing down. But we're not seeing it, not in the numbers. I mean, I look around the world, you know, demand may slow down in the future, but we're seeing near record demand in China, near record demand in India. And here in the United States, product demand for the last couple of weeks is the highest it's ever been for this time of year. But sometimes the markets do look ahead. You know, they could be seeing some problems in the future. We're just not seeing it in the hard numbers today.
Is the U.S. and is Saudi Arabia capable of maintaining the gap that comes from the Iranian sanctions, or is this something that could eventually catch up with the oil markets?
I think it's going to be tough to continue to make up for that loss of supply, because if once you do that, you have to look at what you will do the next time you have a disruption. And right now, we're pumping in the world just about every barrel of oil we can possibly pump, and that's barely making up for that loss of supply. So something's got to give. Either demand's going to have to slow down, you know, or we're going to have a world where we're not going to have any oil disruptions whatsoever, and then we can see, and if and maybe then prices will snap back. But, I mean, looking at what we're seeing right now, this is the best it's going to get for oil production in the world. You know, you're not going to see a lot more barrels pumped. And that's going to be a problem if we lose supply from Libya, Nigeria, or some other country, because we just don't have anything in the bullpen to bring out in case of an emergency.
Phil Flynn, the senior market analyst at Price Group and Fox Business News coordinator here in Chicago. Always a pleasure to get your perspective, and hopefully we'll see a continuation of the supply being met, because otherwise we're going to see a jump in oil prices. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55. This live look at the market sponsored by Baird. From Bloomberg, Elisa Peretti.
Jim, stocks are taking a cautious step higher. We've got gains of about 0.5% across the main averages. The Dow adding 126 points and is just shy of 25,600. NASDAQ up 42, S&P adding 14. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up 0.2%. And today's gains come without any help from oil and energy. Crude futures are sinking more than 1.5%. The best performers on the Dow are IBM, Caterpillar, and Boeing. Speaking at the Bloomberg New Energy Forum, make that the New Economy Forum in Singapore, a top Chinese official said China is still ready to talk trade with the U.S. And President Trump has said previously that he thinks a mutually beneficial trade deal can be reached between the U.S. and China. We may spend more this holiday than in years past. One forecast is predicting total retail sales will soar above $1 trillion for the first time this November and December. eMarketer says high consumer confidence, higher pay, and low unemployment should boost our holiday shopping. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.